But number two, I got reaffirmation when I came home one day this week and my wife said, hey, I got something for your next message. And I'm like, oh yeah, what's that? She said, I was listening to something. It was day 41. And I thought that was pretty cool because that's kind of where God was leading me. So, you know, when you get that affirmation, it's kind of cool. How was everybody's week? I tell you what, I am so tired of looking at hospitals if I never have to see another doctor or another hospital. That'd be too quick. Mom went back in the hospital this week. Long story short, a lot of praise with that. She had a bone density scan, and there's no cancer, no blood leukemia, no nothing. Now we just have to figure out why she's losing the blood that she's losing, because her hemoglobin level keeps going down. But she has another appointment this week, and they got one more test that she has to swallow a camera, I guess. I don't know. Sounds weird to me, but it's a pill. And then I guess the coating dissolves, and then it becomes a camera and takes some pictures of her small intestine. So they think maybe that's where she's losing some blood. But she is back home. Thank you for prayers for that. And last night I get a text message. My brother and I get a text message from my much younger sister. She's 12 years younger than me. And she said, hey, can one of you guys take me to the hospital? You know, she's 40, something like that. And I'm like, where's your husband? Well, he's sick. Like, they have this viral stuff that's going through, and he is, like, deathbed sick. And Kara called me and said, can you take me to the hospital? And I said, yeah. So I made her put a mask on and ride in the back seat of my truck because I don't want that crap. Okay. It's run through their three of their four kids, and now Adam and Kara has it. But negative for COVID, which was a blessing, and viral. So, but she could not breathe. She's asthmatic as well, and she was having a really hard time. But talked to her this morning. Everything's good. And of course, Mom, who got out of the hospital on Friday, was mad at me because Kara wasn't forthright with Mom and tell her that she was going to the hospital. So, yeah, it is what it is. Some things are just better left unsaid. Anyway, that was my week. But I got to close out the week yesterday with a really cool thing. My alarm went off at 3:45 in the morning. Yesterday morning, I got up and at 4 left for work. I wanted to make it back for the pie auction yesterday. For we have 4 young men playing football that's their main fundraiser, and 2 seniors, and then Nolan. You a freshman, Nolan? Nolan, a freshman, and Brody Gray's an 8th grader, and they bake their own pies and bring them in the community. What a community we live in! You know, the community rallied around that football program, and not just football program, any program, whether it's band, whether it's Spanish club, whatever. And they raised just a bunch of money yesterday for that. So I got to get there and be a part of that, and really cool experience. With that, I'm going to open us in prayer, and then we'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you, and Lord, my mind's going 1,000 miles an hour. I ask you just to, I know the message. I've got notes on the message. I've prayed over the message. Lord, but I just ask you to shut me down. Lord, just let me be the mouthpiece and let me say the words that you want me to say. And let the congregation have ears to hear the words that you want them to hear, Lord. Lord, we just love you and we praise you and we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Sorry, I do have one more announcement. We are our young adult junior high school group. We are going to take, we were off this week. I guess I was here. But we're going to take this week, next week, and the following week off. So the next two more weeks, we're going to be off. When we get back in school, we're going to get back at it. And that's for anybody that's seventh grade through college age. If you're college age kids, if you want to come, I'd love to use you as a mentor for some of the younger kids. I know we have a group of seventh grade young ladies that are going into seventh grade, and love to get them incorporated. Let's move in. So the title today is Declaration of Hope. 41 will come. I'm a numbers guy, okay? And I think about numbers all the time, and I don't know, sometimes it's hard to shut that down. But I got thinking a couple weeks ago about a certain number in the Bible that is used a lot. And it's the number 40. It's the number 40. And has anybody else ever thought about that, or am I the only weird one that thinks about stuff like that? The number 40, it is used a ton of times in the Bible. Today, I want to talk about 41. We'll get there. But so the significance of the number 40. We know that it was used in as early as Genesis chapter 6. You know, God instructed Noah to build an ark in the middle of a drought. And Noah was ridiculed. Noah was... people made fun of him. People did a lot of things with him. But the world at that point had gotten so corrupt and so full of sin that God said, you know what? I'm going to lower the boom. But Noah, I find you righteous. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to build this ark. And he gave him the direct measurements of what it would be. Long story short, Noah built this ark, took his family on it, took two of every species of animal, and it rained for 40 days. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want it to rain for 40 days. I don't even want it to sprinkle for 40 days. That is a trial that the world had to go through. 40 days, 40 nights. Anybody know what happened on day 41? On day 41, Noah opened the window, sent the dove out, and it came back with what? An olive branch. Meaning, they could see land. Dry land. Okay? So day 41 is coming. And at that point in time, God also said to Noah, look, I want you to look in the sky. I've created a rainbow. And that is going to give you eternal hope. Every time you see this rainbow, I want you to remember that I will never again try to destroy the earth with water. So that was day 41 for Noah. Pretty cool. In Exodus, we know that Moses, I've preached about Moses before. We've preached about the Exodus before. I just want to focus on one part of that Exodus. But Moses was raised as an Egyptian. Okay? He was adopted basically by the Pharaoh's daughter, and he was raised in the royal family. But when Moses became of age and became a man, he went out to the slave fields, and he saw one of the whip masters, the slave masters, beating one of the Israelites. What did he do? He killed him. Okay? So Moses then leaves his royal family, his adopted royal family, and goes, and he hides in the desert for 40 years. On year 41, God called him back and said, hey, I got a job for you. I'm going to give you a second chance. I got a job for you. I want you to deliver the Israelites out of Egypt. And Moses balked at that. Moses, no, not me. But you know what? Moses did it. And what we've learned from that Exodus and what we've gained from that Exodus on day 41 or year 41 is pretty cool. God did amazing things through Moses. Also, in during that Exodus, the Israelites, even though they saw all these miracles and they were delivered from 400 years of slavery, and they saw the Red Sea part, and they saw manna fall from the heaven, and they saw all this other stuff. You know what they did? They did what I would do. They said, "Yeah, God, but you didn't do this." Or, "Yeah, God, but I really need this." They grumbled. They grumbled. So these Israelites were being led to the promised land. God had told them, "Hey, your sin, we're going to send you to a land of milk and honey." Okay, pretty cool place. And they grumbled. So what did they get to do? For the next 40 years, they got to wander around in the woods. You know, I got a girl that I've coached for a lot of years. Lindsay spent some time here, but it's an Army base. And it's Fort Leonard Wood. I call it Fort Lost in the Woods, and that's what a lot of people call it. And that's what I envision, is just being lost in the woods, just wandering with no aim, no goal. Now, those Army bases, that's a bad analogy, because they have aim, they have goal. But when I think of what these Israelites, I think of lost in the woods. And they just wandered for 40 years. So if you're going through something today, I need you to understand day 41 is coming. Or year 41 or whatever it is. It's coming. 41 is coming. And in 41, in Exodus in 41, the children of the main group that was led out of Egypt then entered into the land they were promised. That's where we want to be. And guys, I'm telling you, we have been promised eternity. Eternity. We've been promised something greater than a new car. We've been promised something greater than whatever. But we've been promised eternity. And that's our 41. That's where we're going. We have to persevere and we have to get through the 40. But we're going there. It doesn't stop there. In 1 Samuel, we know of who... Anybody know who's in 1 Samuel? David and Goliath. So Goliath, this dude was a giant. 9 foot tall. His armor weighed hundreds of pounds. And the Israelite army was camped on one hill. The other army was camped on the other hill. And he was down in the valley, and he tortured the Israelites for 40 days and screamed at them and ridiculed them for 40 days. He came out and said, "I want somebody to fight me." And the Israelites are smart people. They're like, "No, that dude's a giant. I'm not going out there and fighting him. I'm not going out there and fighting him." Guess what the 41 was? A 13-year-old boy with a slingshot and a rock. He goes out and slays the giant. 41 is coming. 41 is coming. It doesn't stop there. And that's 1 Samuel 17. Jonah 3. And I'm going to read a little bit about Jonah, because I think he's pretty important. We're going to start in chapter 1. So the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." So what was God asking Jonah to do? And guys, you can apply this to your lives today, because there's something God's asking you to do that you really don't want to do, right? Maybe I'm the only one. I'm weak faith. I'm the only one that God asked me to do something. I'm like, "No thanks, God." Right? Here's Jonah. Nineveh was a city, that pretty big city, and it was just turned to shambles because of sin. But in verse 3, But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. And we all know what happens after that. There's a storm. Jonah's thrown overboard. He's swallowed by a whale. He lives inside this whale. The whale then spits him up where? Nineveh. And let's go to chapter 3 now. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim it to the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on a sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in dust. This is the proclamation he ordered. I'm not going to read the whole passage because I want to get to the main passage. But basically what happened is for 40 days they thought they were going to be just destroyed by God, right? And God, on day 41, God showed his mercy and didn't destroy the city. They should have been destroyed. But Jonah got to preach that for 40 days. And then Jesus, not to be outdone, just so you think that was just all Old Testament, not true. Jesus, when he was baptized by John the Baptist, he went into the wilderness and he allowed himself to be tested for 40 days. And he was tested by Satan himself for 40 days. And just not so we know the power of Jesus. On day 41, you know what happened? Satan left Jesus. Completely. Completely. Jesus had to go through that to justify everything else that went on previously. And we have things in our lives, and you know, my 41's a little dude, weighs about 11 pounds. He's pretty cool. I was hoping he was still awake because he'd probably be talking to me by now, but I think he's asleep. He had his bottle. He's gone. But we all have that 41 in our lives. We all have that goal we're looking to get to. We all know we have to go through some sort of struggle. But it's no fun when we go through it. You know, Jack going through what he's going through, that's no fun. Chris actually saw Loretta and Jack last week, and Chris knew Jack we all knew Jack when Kiara and Kasman were little, and just how vibrant he was. And she said, man, it was hard. Yeah, cancer's no fun at all. But our 40 doesn't compare to our 41. Whatever we go through here on this earth, our 40 doesn't hold a candle to what we're going to see and what we're going to feel and what we're going to experience on our 41. Let's go over to Ephesians. And I'm going to attempt to tie this all together. Well, I'm not going to. God's going to, but and I know I got Ephesians 4, 1 through 16, but I highlighted a verse the other a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to use it today. It's Ephesians 1, verse 8. And I want you to remember this, because this is vitally important to our 41. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. So understand that our 41, our hopes, our dreams, man, they're not by anything we've done. And that goes against logic, because we tell our kids, hey, you got to do good in school, you got to do good in college, you got to do this, you got to do that. Guys, God's gifted you the gifts you need to get through your life. It requires a little bit of follow through and a little bit of work on our end, but God's already gifted you that stuff He needs you to do. Let's go to chapter 4. And this is what our 41 should look like church-wise. Okay? As prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. Verse 9, what does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who has descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measures of the fullness of Christ. So I'm going to unpack that before I go to 14 and 15, 16. Guys, what we need to understand is everything we go through in our life, we're prisoners of that through Jesus Christ. He's going to pull us out of it. Yeah, do we make some dumb decisions? And I'll use, that's a bad, but dumb decisions. Because God, as part of God's plan, the decisions, He already knows what decisions I'm going to make. And He already knows I'm a lunkhead, okay? But He loves me anyway. And I've spent some time with Stan here, and we've talked, and the stories Stan can tell are pretty powerful to what God does and the plan God has. Because Stan, 20 years ago, did you think you'd be sitting here? Did your sister think you'd be sitting here 30 years ago? No. He told me his sister came to his house when he was, how old were you? In his 20s, and said, Stan, I have to ask you a silly question, but I don't think you're going to make it to 30. I want to take out a life insurance policy so I can, so somebody benefits from your stupidity. Wasn't quite worded like that, I'm sure. And Stan was like, sure, go ahead. But you know what? You know who got involved? God got involved and took hold of Stan. And now Stan has his 41. And he's living that dream every day, right? Yeah. Is it still with struggles? Sure. Is it still with struggles? Sure. But he knows ultimately what his 41 is. And that's maturity in Christ. And you know, understand that God knows the whole depth. He knows the hell. He knows the heavens. And it says he's actually been above the heavens. That's pretty cool. That's the God we serve. But in verse 7, but to each of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. I'm certainly glad he didn't use all his grace on you all, because I need just about everything he has. Okay? His grace is unending. It's never going to go away. So let's go to 14. This is our end goal as church and as Christians. Verse 14, this is our 41. This is where we want to be. Then we will be no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Guys, at the end of the day, that's what we've got to be as a church. We've got to be going the same direction. We've got to be, in order for us to go out there and spread into this world God's love, we have to be unified in Christ. Okay? I didn't say that Doug couldn't have his opinion or Matt can't have his opinion. But when we get together, and Jamie can have her opinion, but when we get together and we go out through those doors and we go out in that community, we have to be unified in one thing, that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and He has enough grace for every single person. That's our 41. And I'm going to take you back to when Jesus, after Jesus was crucified, and He appeared to His disciples, and you know, of course, these clowns, they didn't believe Him. So He spent some time with them. Anybody want to take a guess how many days? 40? 40? And you know what happened on day 41? Jesus was ascended into heaven. Here, then gone. Guys, that's where we're going. That's where we're going. That's where we want to be, is we want to be ascended into heaven with our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's our 41. So no matter what you're going through here on earth in your 40, no matter what it is, and some of you it's longer than 40 days, I know. Some of you it's 40 years, I know. You know, our buddy Matt McGlott said he's been praying for something for numerous years. Still waiting. That's his 40. it's his 40. When he sees that 41, it's going to be all worth it. And when we see our 41, and when we achieve our 41, man, we're going to live that forever. But we have to do God's plan here for our 40 to achieve the 41, to be given, not achieve, because we aren't achieving anything. Understand that. We're going to be given our 41 of eternity with our Lord and Savior. It's funny how this all, I don't know, this one's been brewing for a while because, you know, most of you know Chris teaches, and her 41's coming because she really doesn't like summer. She puts up with summer. Her 41's coming. Brittany, same way. She's ready. They're ready to go back to school, right? No. That's part of their 40 years. That's what I tell Chris. 40 years. You got to do this. You got about another 12. But it's coming back to school time. And you know what? Today, I just want to bring... So I want to bring any of you teachers up. I want to bring any of you students, young people up. I want them all. Bo Jackson, all of you. Anybody that's going back to school. Anybody that's going... And, you know, if you're a medical person, sorry. I'm not praying for you. You guys need a ton of prayer anyway, but you go to work every day like I do. These teachers going back to school, they are tasked with a huge opportunity to show God's love to kids that don't know what God looks like. So if you're in the education system, come on up. And if you're a student, come on up. We're all going to be going back to school here in the next 3 weeks. I'd like the church to just pray for everybody that's going back to school. If you go to work every day, sorry, we pray for you every day already. But if you're a teacher in your education, Brittany, Chris, Jennifer, kids, come on. Students, come on. Sarah, sorry, I forgot Sarah. Yeah, come on up. Lexi, are you done? Come on. Did somebody go get them up top? We'll wait. Guys, we have a great representative. Julie, are the kids coming? Yeah, just shovel them all down here, Dwayne. We have a great representation in this congregation of people that go and make a difference every day. You all go and make a difference every day. These all are going to make a difference here starting in about 3 weeks. They've already done it for years, most of them. But I want you to pray for these young people as well as these educators daily, because their job is, it's a big task and it's a big ask. But understand, and I know Brittany and I know Jennifer's seen it too, and I've seen it when kids graduate from school and they come back and they thank Chris for being their kindergarten teacher or third grade teacher or whatever it was. It's pretty cool to see. So you guys are making a difference. Please keep pushing along. Kids, appreciate your teachers. Church, I would love for you to gather around and pray with us. I'll give you a minute. The kids are coming. If anybody wants to come forward and pray, that's fine. If not, I'll do it. Here they come. Come on up here. Come on up here, Marley May. Come on, Caleb. Come here, Olivia. 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 All right, Jesse, you're here. Doug's here. Jamie's here. All right, we're just going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come for you, and I lift up all these students, as they begin back to class, some of them their final senior year, some of them in college, some of them starting a new adventure in junior high, some of them just continuing to get older. But Lord, I lift them up, and Lord, let them know that you're part of this, and you're part of their lives, and you're part of their plan. And Lord, just put people in their paths to help them with that plan and that journey, Lord. And Lord, I also lift up all these educators here, Sarah and Chris and Brittany and Jennifer and anyone else that's involved in the educational system at all, Lord. We know the impact that your people are making out there in the educational system. And just, Lord, just we ask you to use these educators to be a blessing and be a light for you in a system that definitely needs you, Lord. Lord, as we just get ready to head back into school and head back into schedules and everything else, just make that transition easy for everyone involved. And Lord, just bless us and use this body and these people as your servants, Lord. And whatever you need them to do, make it clear. Lord, we thank you. We lift these people up. We lift these kids up as they head back. And we just make a vow as a church to pray for them daily, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.